like a lot of you remember this happening in the Red Building, and it freaks us all out pretty good. But she's calm, and she's doing well, and we have some folks in there checking on her. We have some capable people here in the church family. She had a couple of RNs there with her, and she has people praying for her, so she's got the best of both worlds there. And so she's gonna do good. It's just kind of terrifying when that comes on you, and you can't breathe very well. When you're breathing like you're running uphill and you're not running uphill, it kind of startles your system. And that in turn startles your church family and your parents and your siblings and everything. But we're going to be fine, okay? So let's give the Lord a hand praise of worship. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We magnify you, Lord God. Praise God. Well, let's see what we can do here. You can be seated for just a minute. And I appreciate, again, all of the good help that we had yesterday in the ministry to, it's actually our mechanical team, and they have chosen to target some of our families that are in need or our elders and spend some time with them perhaps once a quarter. And yesterday, Sister Linda Pate's home and Sister Katie's home were targeted, and some crews put in a full day there, and it was excellent work and excellent fellowship, and they did a wonderful job and got a lot of good work done at both of those sites, and we appreciate all the brethren that were involved. We had a wonderful prayer breakfast yesterday morning. Appreciate the cooks and those who prepared everything, and it's just an absolutely wonderful thing for men to get together and pray and magnify God together. And everybody say amen. Praise God. Brother and Sister Tim King are going to be with us the second full week of August. There are some very nice flyers out in the foyer. Thank you, promotional team, for producing those. And you can invite people when you're in a public place and you see people with unruly children, give them one of these. You see kids, or if you're in church and you see people with unruly children, give them one of these. And invite them to these special services. But this is an excellent book, Helping Your Children or Helping Your Child Become. It is along the lines of the theme of the Rock Church in Sacramento, California. And their church theme or their church mission statement is helping people become. And it's the ideology there is to help you become everything you can to tap your potential in the kingdom of God. And they've taken that idea and run with it in terms of a book on child rearing. And we're excited about them coming. And we're going to have a service Friday night and Saturday, like a 7 o'clock service on Friday evening and a 10 a.m. service on Saturday. And it's going to be a seminar, a teaching session. And we're excited about that. And those of I mean, my word, we have a multitude of young ladies that are expecting right now. And we need instruction. And we also need God to bless and help all the nursery workers, because it's about to be a very busy and a very, very exciting place there in the nursery with all these new babies. So I want you to take advantage of this and pass out these flyers and invite your friends and neighbors and your enemies and find out where the little kids live that are bugging you in your neighborhood and give those to their parents and invite them to come. We are yet in the process of our commitment Sunday. This is today we made our commitments for our building fund, our building pledge, and we still have several families that are out of the city, and they're traveling, and several folks who have not yet been a part of this commitment process. And you today committed on a level that is beyond our church note and the new note on the land over there. What you committed today will handle everything we're doing right now in terms of land and building. I don't know if you understand what that means, but that's extraordinary, and it's very, very good. And it will give us the capacity to continue to grow and to continue to be a blessing to foreign missions and home missions and elders and all of that. So this is phenomenal. And the 6th of August will be our first commitment Sunday, and we will we'll take that building pledge the first Sunday of every month, and we'll just have a little ceremony, and we'll bring our offering and our gift to the Lord. And everybody say, praise the Lord. And again, I appreciate Brother Dan putting together the imagery for our flyers and our commitment cards. And the couple of those images are out on easels in the foyer if you want to drop by and look at that. But I appreciate the work he put into generating that and producing that for us. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great being a part of the kingdom of God? Now, Wednesday evening and this morning, we were talking about a passage in Psalms 85. And the crux of that passage is simply this, that God gives salvation to those that fear him. And mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There is, biblically then, a corollary between salvation and the fear of God, between mercy and truth, and righteousness and peace. And the instruction here in the psalm is that you can't get the good stuff or the sweet stuff or the desired spiritual effect without the process of God. But the fear of God has to be operative in your life for you to find salvation. And that's not like I'm afraid of God. That's like the reverence and trust and dependence upon God. And really, the heart of it is obedience to his word. Truth is a process and something that we do. And it derives mercy for our lives. And righteousness and peace have kissed each other, which simply means that if you want to have peace in your life, you've got to have a relationship with righteousness, and righteousness can only be attained by obedience to the word of God. Now, I fully intended to finish the business on mercy and truth tonight and also deal with righteousness and peace, to identify them biblically and to talk about what does it mean to live righteously and how do you derive peace from that. But the Holy Ghost interrupted us here, and we're going to move on to Psalms 87 tonight. Psalms 87, and we'll start in verse 1. And would you say, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. Turn to your neighbor and say, think about it. That's what Selah means. I will make mention of Babylon. I didn't read that right. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Think about it. As well as the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Praise God. God bless you. Why don't you be seated, lift up praise and thanks to God for his word forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we worship you. No, let's give him high praise. We thank you, Lord God, and we worship you, and we magnify your name. We give you all praise and thanks. We bless your name, O God. How awesome are your ways. How good God is to us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And this is a psalm for the sons of Korah. And we worked on them a little bit. These sons of Korah, who are the descendants of that notorious Korah, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and the earth opened up and swallowed them down. So we want to take note of a group of people that learn from their past, and they learn from the hurt and from the loss of others, and now they are having revival. They have become the singers in the temple. And for these sons of Korah, there is a psalm here that is a tribute to Zion. Now, a few weeks ago or months ago, we spent quite a while on Zion. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the mountain of our God, in the city of his holiness. How beautiful for situation is Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. Praise God. Mount Zion is a source of all joy. That's a corollary between this psalm that says, all my springs are in thee. If you're really going to have joy and you're really going to have peace in your life and something good in the spirit is going to be flowing in your life, I want you to know that all the springs for that kind of experience are in Zion. You won't find it in community. You won't find it in education. You won't find it in financial success. You won't find it in the wellsprings of the world. You won't find it in a bar room, and you can't find it in a crack house. I want you to know the springs that yield up joy and peace and righteousness are all in Zion. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. All of the springs that you need in spirit are in Zion. Now, we spent quite a while talking about that in Psalms 48. We spent weeks dealing with that because the admonition of the scripture was walk about Zion and tell her towers and consider her bulwarks and how her people live or her palaces. Mark well her bulwarks and consider her palaces. And we dealt with the fact that you need to know what Zion looks like and what she is and what her pinnacles are like and how she is strong in her bulwarks and how her people live. And the psalmist said, so that you can tell it to the generation that follows. You need to know what Zion is because the kids need to know. You need to know what Zion is because the children are coming. And we live in a generation that needs to know and understand what Zion really is. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so we talked about what makes up Zion. And first we had to go back to the Old Testament and tap into Deuteronomy chapter 12. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 12, God is telling Israel, you're not going to be vagabonds and wanderers all your lives. He said, but I'm bringing you to a city. And that city was going to be Jerusalem. And he said, you're not going to be offering up sacrifices just anywhere like the pagans do or the heathens do. But you're going to be offering them up in one place. And in that place, I'm going to meet with you. And in that place, I'll put my spirit. And in that place, I'll put my name. And you bring your little ones there. And he's talking about Zion. He said, it is the place. And it's to the place that the Lord chooses that you shall come. Now, that was Jerusalem. That was the place that David overran from and took away from the Jebusites, and he made it the centerpiece of all of Israel and Judah. And in their pinnacle of power, and when they were at their very best, living under the power of David and Solomon, Jerusalem was the center of commerce in that area of the world. Solomon built his temple there. There wasn't any place like it on the face of the earth. And if you wanted to know God, you had to come to Jerusalem. And if you wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God, you had to come to Jerusalem. There was only one place where his name was. One place where the sacrifice was offered. One place where the Shekinah glory of God would come down. Say praise the Lord. Praise God. It was exclusive, but it was open to everybody. Praise God. But we get a shocker in the New Testament. Jesus is standing in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. And she's asking because she thinks he's a prophet now. He's told her a little bit about her life. And he had no way of knowing about her life. He said, you're right, lady. You're not married. You had five husbands, and the one you're living with now, you're shacked up with. She said, well, you're a prophet. So she began to ask him theological questions. She said, now that I found out you're a prophet, the people of Samaria and Israel believe we ought to worship here in the mountains of Samaria. worship the golden calves of Jeroboam. But she said, you Jews, you believe, she said, you remnant of Judah, you worship in Jerusalem. Which one's right? Jesus told her, lady, the time has come, the hour is now, that it's not in this mountain of Samaria and it's not in Jerusalem that people are going to worship God, but they're going to worship him in a new place. He identifies a place. He said it's going to be a place of spirit and truth. And he says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he just blew her out of the water theologically and said it's not in this mountain that Jeroboam chose, and it's not even in Jerusalem that God chose, because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn, and that time was passed by, and John the Baptist was spoken of in Isaiah 40, and the word of God said, all flesh shall see it, the glory of the Lord shall fill the whole world. It's not God's design to put it in one place anymore, not geographically, but he's put it in one place spiritually, and you can have that spiritual experience no matter if you're in the Philippines or in South America or in Asia or Europe or North America. It's a place called spirit and truth. Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you glad to know where that place is tonight? Now, we spent a considerable amount of time documenting the fact in the New Testament writ that the church of the living God, the fluid corporate body of the king, is the new Zion. And the New Testament says that verbatim. We have come to Mount Zion. We've come to New Jerusalem, to the souls of men made righteous, to an innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. And so simultaneously all over this globe right now, over on the other side, Zion is there. And over here where we are, Zion is here. Wherever men have found God in spirit and in truth, Zion is there. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now there is a political or a secular view of Zionism, and it is a discussion in the world about resurgent Israel, and they call that Zionism, and they are called Zionists because they believe that the king is coming back. They believe Messiah is coming back, and they're right. And they talk about it in terms of it being Zionist, or they are Zionism on the move, and so there's a political view of Zionism, and there's a secular view of Zionism. But there's something that's been moving now for 2,000 years, and it has nothing to do at all with the political or with the secular. What it has to do with is the fact that God breathed into an upper room, and He started a church in the souls of 120, and that thing began to spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and now to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Mount Zion is a mountain now in all of the earth. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank God. We need to understand tonight that this is not a reenactment of the Old Testament, but the word of God is clear. His name is there. His spirit is there. Praise God. You get his spirit like it was in the days of the temple and the tabernacle. His spirit was in the Holy of Holies. Now he's put his spirit within men. Everybody say his spirit is there. When we come together corporately, his spirit inhabits the praises of his people. Would you say his spirit is there? As it was with Zion of old, now it is with the corporate body of his people. His name is there. It's the exclusive place of his name. God doesn't put his name on physical objects. God doesn't put his name on property or building. But God puts his name on those that go down in the water in Jesus' name for the washing away of their sins. And their name becomes his name. Praise God. And it's just like Deuteronomy chapter 12, but now it's in Raymond, and now it's in Brother Jimmy, and now it's in Jermaine, and they become the place of the Spirit, and they become the place of the name, and they become Zion in the earth. Praise the Lord. And Paul said we are corporately built up together. We are lively stones, jointly, fitly framed together. And the joints between us, they provide the strength, that love, and that spiritual connection. We are the body of Christ. Somebody say we're the body of Christ. Paul said we are builded up to be a habitation for God. We are the habitation of God. I want you to know where God lives today. He lives in his church. He doesn't live in Jerusalem. He doesn't live on Mount Zion, but he lives in this new Zion, which is the church of the living God. Praise God. And this passage says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. I want you to understand that Zion, the word, the name, the spirit of God on the earth and the lives of men and women, that is the apple of God's eye. God's looking at that right now. Jerusalem is coming back, and Israel is on their way back prophetically. But Jerusalem and Israel, that's not where God's attention is right now. That's coming, and that's going to happen. The word of the prophet has already spoken it. But now his eye is on his church. There's nothing in the world like the church of the living God. I said there's nothing in the world like the church of the living God. There's no place else you're going to find his spirit. There's no place else you can get forgiveness for sins. There's no place else you're going to get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Nothing like the church. Nothing like the church. There's nothing like the church of the living God. Praise God. In this passage, he said, glorious things are spoken of the O city of God. And he said, when I'm talking about Rahab and Babylon, Philistine Tyre and Ethiopia, he said, there's something primary that I want to tell them. Preeminent in my thinking is this. This man was born there. More important to be born in the kingdom of God than in Ethiopia or Tyre or Philistia or any of the established kingdoms of the world. Well, praise God. The word of God puts an emphasis on the fact of being born in Zion. What does it mean to be born in Zion? Jesus is standing with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus wants to talk theology, but Jesus won't even begin to discuss that with him. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, I'm 50. How can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born? He said, no, you got to understand this. You must be born of water and of spirit. You got to be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. How do you get born again? You get born again by the water. You go down in the water in Jesus' name. You get born again of the Spirit. You open up your life and say, God, not my way, but your way. Lord God, have your way with me. And God pours his Spirit out on you just like he did in Acts chapter 2 with the 120. Just like he did in Acts chapter 8 with the Samaritans, just like he did in Acts chapter 10 with the house of Cornelius, just like he did in Acts chapter 19 with the folks in Ephesus. Praise God. How many of you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit? You tell me, did it change your life? You tell me, is it the best thing that ever happened to you? Are you glad you've been born again? Do you find a level of excitement about being born again? I want you to know you may be excited about it, but you don't understand the magnitude of it. You don't know on this side how powerful that experience will have been for you until you wake up on the other side. Praise God. He said, if I'm talking to any of these folks from any of these places, this is the thing I want to say. This man was born there. Praise God. If you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, shake your neighbor's hand and say this. And if you're a woman, then naturally you'll say woman. But if you're a man, you'll say man. Say, this man was born there. And if you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, shake somebody by you and say, I'm going to be born there. Praise God. Praise God. Paul teaches the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Say, all things are passed away. All things are become new. What does it mean to be born in Zion? It means I say goodbye to the past. It means I say goodbye to what I was and where I went and all the things that I did. Praise God. Praise God. We've got folks here that were born in Louisiana, and folks that were born in Georgia, and people that were born in the Congo, and folks that were born in Hueytown. We've got a wide array of folks born. We even have people born in Mississippi and in the Philippines. Dawson, the Filipino, he was born there. But the emphasis of the scripture here is I can talk to you about all the kingdoms, all the established kingdoms of men. But when it comes down to it, he said, I want you to know this man was born there. Speaking of Zion, the thing that matters most, not where you started, but what matters is how you finish. It doesn't matter where you came from, but it matters where you're standing in God right now. I tell you, this psalm opens up something for us. This psalm tells me I can say goodbye to Philistia or Tyre or Ethiopia, wherever I came from, and I can say hello to the kingdom of God. This man was born there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't carry any weight with God that you came from the big city. It doesn't carry any weight with God that you came from the windy city. It doesn't carry any weight with God that you came from the Twin Cities. God doesn't care about the Big Apple, and God doesn't care about the city with the Golden Gate Bridge. It doesn't matter if you were born in Rome or in Athens or in Moscow, but I'll tell you what matters. What matters is whether or not you've been born in that new Zion, whether or not you've been born of water and spirit. Clap your hands unto it. It's the will of God for you to be born again of water and of spirit. It's a new beginning. It's a new life. Well, praise God. That'd make a good name for a church. New life. When we came to Birmingham, there were no New Life anythings here. Now there's New Life contractors and New Life chiropractors and New Life churches. And I see people out on the road begging with buckets from some place called New Life, and I want to kick the buckets over. And it keeps coming to my mind over and over again, we need to change the name of this place to something that nobody's going to want. The first church of hellfire and damnation. They won't be putting that on their buckets. I just want to talk to them. Your God owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. Your God's the I am that I am. Your God's the provider of all things good and wonderful and the maker of all things and holds it all in the palm of his hand. And you're out on the road saying, please support my church. You're out among the sinners saying, we can't make it without your help. My God, stand up. First time I ever saw Pentecostal people, there was these folks that used to, in my hometown, and I was just a little bald head, barefoot kid, lived my whole life in a pair of cutoffs, got black during the summertime, and we'd be riding along in the back of a pickup truck, because that's how we went places, load up the truck. We'd be riding along and out on Plank Road. There'd be these people in these old long coats. I think she had a long moth-eaten coat and black high-top Converse. And somebody told me they were Pentecostals. And I was just awestruck. It's like, you know, getting your first glimpse of Ebola or something like that. You knew it was something you didn't ever want to be. But I've always joked with Sister Sutton. She had an old coat one time. I said, hang on to that. I'm going to get you some black high-top Converse and turn you loose in the city for a fundraiser. Do you think I have an attitude about that? You don't know anything about it. I've got a desperate and an awful attitude about that. Bring reproach on the kingdom of God. Go begging in the city. And then you're going to tell them, My God is a great God. I got to quit that. What does it mean to be born in Zion? It means you get born of the water and of the Spirit. And this passage says, when I'm talking to the big cities, the great kingdoms, I'm going to say, this man was born there. In the judgment, it won't matter if you're from Hollywood or New York City. It won't matter if you're from Paris or Munich. What'll matter is if you were born in this city called Zion. That's all that's going to matter. Young ladies, don't you dare let this world swing fashion and style, which changes every 5 minutes, and you can't keep up with it anyway. And it's a bunch of homosexuals that are determining that. And they drag you around by your nose and make you spend all your daddy's money. But don't you let those big cities catch your eye. Don't you? I want you to know there's a city that's got more power and more glory and more honor and more goodness than any city that you're going to ever see on this earth. Praise God. It's a city called Zion. My God, we're on our way. We're on our way. We've been born into it, and we're on our way to that city. Praise God. Don't be impacted by the big city, because God's city is the only one that matters. And in the psalm, they said, the only thing that matters is this man was born there. Praise God. Verse 4, I'll make mention of all these places, but I want you to know this man was born there. You get a new point of origin. You get a new beginning, a new allegiance, if you would. Praise God. I laughed and laughed the other night. I was teaching Brother Dimitri and Sister Tatiana a Bible study, and she teaches international relations at Samford. She's the dean of that area of the school there at Samford, and she laughs because they're making fun of her. She said, they always ask, "Are you a spy?" They always ask Brother Dimitri if he's a spy too, just because they're from Russia, you know. And but they told her, we'd rather have a KGB communist here than a blank Yankee. They said, we'd rather have, and I think they were kidding, we'd rather have a KGB agent here than a Yankee. And so you kind of feel these regional conflicts stirring up. And you think, all of that's probably passed away. But I was driving down south on 65 the other day, and I saw a great big old rebel flag flying out in the breeze there. Oh, bless God, what's wrong with a big rebel flag? Well, it talks about things that should be dead and buried and gone a long time ago, and it's an insult to a whole lot of people that I've got a lot of value for in my... Oh, no, it's just a symbol. Yeah, it's a symbol. Where'd that symbol come from, and what is it? When you get born in the kingdom, you have a whole new set of allegiances. It's an interesting thing. Right now, Lebanon is prepared for an invasion, and they're threatening to have war with Israel. But there's two young ladies that are prominent in the media right now, and they're best friends. One's Lebanese and one's Israeli. But they don't care about the worldly pressure or the national dividing lines. They just want to be friends one with another. You know what? When you get born into the kingdom, all of that old cultural stuff is shoved aside. There is no premium on your ethnicity or your previous culture. When you come into the house of God, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new beginning. And it doesn't matter if you were born in Mountain Brook or in Fairfield or in Woodlawn or in Pinson. It doesn't matter where you're born. What matters is, are you born in Zion? The scripture says this man was born there in Zion. Praise God. I got a new point of reference. I've got a new origin. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter anymore. We come into the house of God. I don't want to know about your culture if that's a chip on your shoulder. I don't want to know about your culture if it's somehow a point of division between you and somebody else in the house of God. The only thing I want to know about your culture is if it brings more good food to the table. Bring that if you want. Bring the good food. Bring the nice things that make the texture of the body of Christ more appealing and more enjoyable and more complex. I love it today that we got Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and Russians and all kinds of folks in the house of God together. I'm glad that we've got a little Italians, and I'm glad we got people from different places in the country, because those cultures come together and there's power in that diversity. There's power in that diversity. At the Tower of Babel, God looked at them and said, they are unified. They all speak the same thing. They have one goal. And whatever they think, whatever they imagine, they will be able to accomplish because they are unified. He was talking about sinners and people that had already made up their mind to rebel against God. Now, if that is potent among people that don't know God, how much more powerful is it if the church of the living God can come together? It doesn't matter where you started. It matters where you started again. It doesn't matter where you're from. It matters where are you from now. I'm from Zion. I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we don't foster nor do we entertain cultural things that are divisive. What's the first thing the enemy wants to do when it comes to a church that's got its mind on revival? What's the first thing the enemy wants to do when it comes to a church that wants to touch its city? He wants to sow a seed of division. He wants to find somebody that's got an offense in their heart or a chip on their shoulder, and he wants to sow a seed there. But I want you to know this: if you want to live for God and you want to fulfill your potential in the kingdom of God, you just got to get an attitude about all that. You've got to be impervious to all that. I don't care what somebody said. I don't care what somebody did. I'm a part of the best thing on the face of the earth, and I want to see what God can do. I want to get my hands in the work of God. I want to preach with the preacher and sing with the singers and shout with the shouters and pray with those that are praying. My God, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to see revival. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Wet back. He said, I didn't swim, I drove. Wet backs and what? Spicks. And what are we? Gringos? And wops and dagos. And but we don't even use that in humor, because I don't want to damage the unity of the body. For fear that... Now, if we've been hanging around a long time and he calls me gringo and I call him something, but I'm a little leery of using those things because I don't know how they impact people from different parts of the country, you know? You might wander in and say something really, really bad and not even know it. Just he's smiling. I heard a really funny story I can't tell you tonight because it's inflammatory. But it is so funny. This lady who was totally a foreigner walked up in the middle of an ethnic group and just said, "Hi," and called them by their ethnic derogative. And I mean, it was like, it was going to be trouble. She had no idea. She was just smiling. She was being friendly. That's what I say. You got to be, it's better. Jesus said, let your yeas be yea and your nays nay. And we don't need to wander off into all that. But if we did it and it was in fun, I'm not on a witch hunt about that. But it ought not ever be around our supper table. It ought not ever be in our social group. Those words, those derogatives, those negative terms dealing with ethnicity should never be found among God's people, because that sows a seed of division. And by uttering that, you say it doesn't matter where they were born in the kingdom of God. What matters to me is where they started. What ethnicity. You know, there is here God culture. That's the culture that's here. I'm not worried about sustaining your culture of your beginning. What I'm worried about is creating God culture in this church and for our children and in this city. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. I've been born again. You don't know where I came from, and it doesn't matter where you came from, but I've been born again. I'm not the same man I used to be. Thank God. Anybody here glad that you've been born again? Praise God. Praise God. Our past is behind us. We've got a new frame of reference and a new identity. Is anybody glad that you've got a new identity? My God, I was a mess. I was only 20 years old, but we were drinking like fish and doing drugs every day. I don't know where we would have been, but I know I wouldn't have been in a church full of happy people with three little girls that love me and I love them. I tell you, I've got so much good in my life because of this new birth experience and because of my association with the kingdom of God. I'm so glad they let me in. I'd be in a graveyard or I'd be in a jail cell. I might have been a success in business or in life, but I would have had an emptiness on the inside that this world can't fill. I'm so glad that he would say of me, this man was born there. Praise God. Praise God. All those natural divisions are dismissed because we are the people of God. We're locked in together, stones out of different quarries. God building us up together to be a habitation for the kingdom of God. Verse 5, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The kingdom of God is established by God, and when you're born in her, you are established by God. Everybody say established by God. There's a phrase in the book of Hebrews that said, and God is not ashamed to be called their God. Let me tell you what he's done. When you came by faith and you went down in the water in Jesus' name, he put his name on your vessel. He put his name on your life. He's not ashamed to be called your God. We are being established by, I want all of hell to hear it tonight. We are established by God. These young people that are coming up in this, they are established by God. These are born in these altars. They are established by God. The Spirit of God has adopted them. Paul said, we have not received a spirit of fear, again under bondage, but a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Praise God. I'm adopted into the kingdom of God. I'm established by God. Come on, the winds of this troubled time, they're going to blow on us, but we're established of God. Come on, now, is anybody here feeling a little bit weak-kneed and a little squirrely in your experience in God? Don't you know that God has established you and that you can stand up in any bitter weather, in any terrible turn of events? Don't you know that you're able to stand up and say, I was born in Zion. God is on my side, and there's not a power in hell or in earth that can take me out of the hand of God. Everybody say, the highest himself shall establish me. Praise God. Come on, God is on your side. Push your neighbor a little bit and tell him God's on your side. Praise God. If you got the name of Jesus in your life, you got a name that is above every name. The devil doesn't just come casually around you. He sees that blood and he sees that name and he feels that Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Praise God. In verse 6, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. You know, it's the only thing that's going to matter. He won't write when he writes up the people. He won't write chief executive officer of Alabama Power. He won't write world-class chef. You know, he's not. He's going to write, this man was born there. He won't write in terms of your stocks and bonds and the money that you've made and saved. Come on, Fat Riley, give me a break, son. What he's going to write is, this man was born there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It won't have anything to do with your past. Let's stand together. It won't have anything to do with your natural origin, your ethnicity, your culture. What it'll have to do with is whether or not you were born in Zion. Praise God. When God writes up the people, what he's going to write is, this man, this woman was born there. Praise God. What's got your mind right now? What's got your passion right now? Let me tell you, nothing else is going to matter. He's not going to write, this was an NBA star. He's not going to write, this was a star in the NFL. This was not a champion soccer player. I got to say something about it, but I don't know anything about soccer. So let's come down around the altar tonight. Praise God. Praise God. He wrote my name way up in glory. He saved my soul from sin and shame. I never shall forget the day the blessed Savior wrote my name. Praise God. When you come down to this altar, if you've been born again, let's begin to give him praise and thanks. If you haven't been, you can receive the Holy Ghost here tonight. If you've never been buried in the water in Jesus' name, you can do that tonight. Come on, church, let's pray a little bit. Come on, church. Do the work of the church. Somebody talk in tongues. Somebody give God thanks. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I've been born again. I thank you, God, for washing my sins away. I thank you, God, for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, Lord. Come on, let's praise him, church. Come on, let's praise him, church. Hallelujah. What matters is whether or not I was born there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Where were you born? Doesn't matter. You need to say Zion. Oh, there you go. Now, this needs to be another piece of weirdness about this church fellowship. Whenever you fill out an application or any type of formal paperwork and it asks for race, you ought to always say human. You ought not ever say anything else. You ought to just say human. And if they give you beef about it, you ask them. You ask them, how many races are they? Where did they come from? How do you delineate one from the other? Ask them, are you like the slavery conscious people of the past, where just 1 or 2% of a certain ethnicity would make you a certain race and bring the scorn of that culture upon you? Are you like those people? No, I didn't think so. Human race. Praise God. Praise God. So now, I don't know if it'll work on formal paperwork or not, but when somebody asks you where you're born, just say Zion. I don't know, in Baton Rouge, it was a Zion city. I don't know if, is there one in Birmingham? No, okay, it'll work here. Say Zion, and then they'll open up and they'll say, where is that? And you begin to tell them, not in Jerusalem, neither in Samaria, but it's a place that God knows is the place of spirit and the place of truth. It's a place where ethnicity doesn't matter. It's a place where culture doesn't matter. It's a place where you get born again and you start all over again in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. I appreciate you. Why don't you turn to one person there by you? If you don't know their name, now get their name. And I want you to lay your hands on them. And I want you to pray God's blessing and goodness on their life. Would you do that for me right now? If you got to be a third wheel there, go ahead. Praise God. Come on, pray an anointed prayer for them. Blessing, goodness, a blessing so great they can't contain it. The windows of God open above them. God, touch my brother. God, touch my sister. Strengthen them and prosper them, oh God. Health and strength in their body. Blessing in their home. Prosper them in the work of their hands. Praise God. Give them victory, God. Faith after faith. Blessings on blessings. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let the Holy Ghost pray for him a little bit. Let that heavenly language flow forth. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's give him a little bit of praise here together. Praise God. I love you. Appreciate you. So glad to be a part of this church. God is going to shake this city, and he's going to give us revival in our homes and our families. Be sure to get some flyers for the family seminar. There's a meeting in the prayer room tonight for the block party. We need a representative from every team there. And if you're interested in outreach for that block party, you go to that same area of the prayer room, and they're going to make a plan there tonight. God bless you.
I've got a meeting.